This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying story is about this farmer in a small town. Witnesses something that keeps killing and stealing his chickens in his chicken coop late at night, thinking that it's just foxes. He starts putting up these weird gadgets that's supposed to keep the foxes away. But when those gadgets are destroyed by something apparently very large, he realizes he is not dealing with any normal forest animal. Something else is taking his stock. Now let's get spooky. The morning I realized something was amiss with my chickens started like any other. With the sun lazily crawling up the sky over Blackfeather, I shuffled outside, coffee in hand, still half asleep, dreaming about the omelet I'd whip up with fresh eggs. But as I neared the chicken coop, something felt off. It was too quiet, like the chickens had all decided to play a game of hide-and-seek, and I was it. Reaching the coop, my eyes widened in disbelief. Several of my prized chickens were missing. No feathers, no sign of struggle, just an eerie silence. I scratched my head, looking around as if the missing chickens would just waltz back into the coop. "Those darn foxes," I grumbled. Though part of me wondered if these foxes had suddenly attended ninja school, given how stealthily they must have operated. Determined to safeguard the rest of my feathered family, I made my way to the local store. Mr. Henderson's shop was an Aladdin's cave of everything you never thought you needed. Wind chimes that supposedly summoned fair weather, a hat that claimed to repel mosquitoes, and amidst all this, anti-fox gadgets. I explained my predicament to Mr. Henderson, who looked at me over his thick glasses with a nod that said, "Say no more." He disappeared into the labyrinth aisles of his shop and emerged with an armful of items that looked like they belonged in a 1950s sci-fi movie. "There you go, Jedediah. This ultrasonic thingamajig, foxes hate the sound it makes. And this spray smells like lion's breath. Foxes will think twice before messing with your chickens," he exclaimed with a wink. That evening, I set up Mr. Henderson's arsenal around the coop. The ultrasonic device looked like a miniature UFO and emitted a sound that I could not hear, but apparently was the equivalent of nails on a chalkboard for foxes. The spray smelled like a mix of gym socks and garlic, and I nearly choked trying to spray it around. Standing back, I admired my handiwork with a sense of accomplishment. "Take that, you sneaky bastards," I said to myself, feeling pretty smug. That night, I was jolted awake by the cacophony of beeps and buzzes. Rubbing the sleep from my eyes, I cracked a smile, thinking of my high-tech fox deterrents doing their job. "Run away, you sneaky critters," I mumbled, picturing a horde of confused foxes scampering into the night. With that comforting thought, I drifted back to sleep, a grin still plastered on my face. The morning sun brought joy to my heart. I was aware that my cute feathered friends were chuckling cheerfully, awaiting our morning feeding routine. As I made my way to the coop, coffee in hand, I noticed the silence again. It was different this time, heavier, as if laced with a foreboding I couldn't shake off. Reaching the coop, my heart stopped. More chickens were missing, even more than the day before. My eyes widened in horror as I saw the remnants of my fox-proof setup. The ultrasonic device was smashed to bits, looking like it had been stomped on by an angry giant. The spray can was twisted and torn open, its pungent contents seeping into the ground. But it was the tracks that sent a chill down my spine. They were unlike any animal prints I had ever seen before. Large, with sharp clawed marks that seemed to gouge deep into the earth. They circled the coop, like whatever had been stalking my chickens awaited for the right moment to strike. Trembling, I continued my inspection around the coop. That's when I found it. The most horrifying sight I had ever laid my eyes on. Behind the coop, in the shadows, lay the remains of several chickens. They weren't just dead. They were obliterated, torn apart with such ferocity that it looked like the work of a madman rather than an animal. Feathers were strewn about, and the ground was soaked in a macabre painting of blood and gore. Standing there amidst the carnage, the reality of the situation hit me. This wasn't the work of foxes or any typical predator. Something much more sinister was at play here, something beyond my wildest imagination. A sense of dread washed over me, the kind that sits heavily in your stomach as I realized that I was dealing with a creature of nightmares, lurking in the shadows of Blackfeather. As I stood amidst the feathery aftermath, a thought struck me like a bolt of lightning. Maybe my high-tech gizmos didn't scare the foxes away. Maybe they just ticked off whatever's been dining on my chickens. It was a eureka moment, albeit a terrifying one. The idea that I had inadvertently angered a creature unknown and clearly dangerous was both ludicrous and oddly comedic in its own irony. With a mix of dread and a bizarre sense of curiosity, I headed back to Mr. Henderson's shop. The bell above the door jingled merrily as I stepped in, a stark contrast to my grim determination. "Mr. Henderson, I need something stronger. My chicken thief isn't a fox," I declared. The shopkeeper peered at me over his glasses, a twinkle of mischief in his eyes. "Uh-huh, something more substantial, eh?" he said, rubbing his hands together. He led me through the labyrinth of aisles, each filled with more bizarre items than the last. We passed a shelf of garlic necklaces for vampires, he assured me, a rack of silver bullets, werewolves obviously, and a box of what looked suspiciously like glitter bombs. He didn't explain those. Finally, we reached the back of the shop where the real heavy artillery was stored. Mr. Henderson presented me with an assortment of gadgets and gizmos that looked like they had been pulled straight out of a sci-fi comic book. There was a canister that supposedly emitted a sound only evil spirits could hear. A net made of a material he claimed was alien technology. And a bottle of liquid he cheerfully described as essence of Bigfoot. Armed with my new arsenal of the absurd, I headed back to the farm, feeling like a character in a B-rated monster movie. Setting up these new defenses was an adventure in itself. The evil spirit sound emitter required an engineering degree to assemble. The alien net kept sticking to itself and everything else. And the Bigfoot essence. Well, let's just say I hoped Bigfoot had a better sense of smell than I did. By the time I was done, my farm looked like a set from a low-budget sci-fi horror flick. I stood back, hands on hips, admiring the ridiculousness of it all. All right, you mysterious chicken-eating monstrosity, I muttered with a grin. Let's see you get past this. That evening, as the sun dipped below the horizon, casting long shadows over my farm, I sat in my living room with a peculiar mix of dread and anticipation. My trusty double-barreled shotgun laid across my lap, its familiar weight a small comfort.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Beside me, my laptop was open to the latest episode of that Korean drama everyone seems to be talking about. A tale of love, betrayal, and dramatic misunderstandings. I found myself oddly hooked on it. The complex plot, a welcome distraction from the chaos of my current predicament. As I meticulously cleaned my shotgun, ensuring it was in perfect working order, I divided my attention between the screen and the occasional strange sounds emanating from outside. The actors on the screen were in the midst of a particularly emotional scene, their voices rising and falling in dramatic crescendos. Yet, even their passionate dialogue couldn't fully drown out the eerie noises of the night or the pounding of my heart, which seemed to beat in rhythm with my growing anxiety. Suddenly, the relative calm of the evening was shattered. The devices and contraptions I had set up around the coop, courtesy of Mr. Henderson's eclectic collection, bursted into life. It was a cacophony of electronic beeps, whirls, and otherworldly sounds that would have been comical under any other circumstances. My heart leaped into my throat, and I scrambled to the window, peering out into the darkness that enveloped my farm. The moon hung low in the sky, a pale witness to the night's events, casting ghostly shadows across the yard. That's when I heard it. A howl that cut through the night, a sound so bone-chillingly loud and otherworldly, it seemed to resonate with the very air around me. It was almost human in its agony and fury, yet distorted, as if coming from a throat not used to forming words. A shiver ran down my spine, the sound echoing in my ears, a harbinger of something unnatural and terrifying. Adrenaline surged through me, and I grabbed my shotgun, rushing out the door with a mix of fear and resolve. The night air was cool against my skin, a stark contrast to the heat of my racing heart. As I neared the coop, the odd symphony of Mr. Henderson's gadgets filled the air, an absurd soundtrack to the unfolding horror. Then, in an instant, chaos erupted. It was as if the very air around the coop exploded, sending a shower of debris into the night. Wood splintered, nails and wire mesh flew like deadly shrapnel, and most horrifying of all, the remains of my chickens, feathers, bones, and flesh rained down around me. The scene was apocalyptic, a tableau of destruction that seemed to defy explanation. I stood there, rooted to the spot in shock and disbelief, covered in the grisly smuck of my flock. The air was thick with the coppery smell of blood, the acrid scent of fear, and the unmistakable odor of death. The coop was once a symbol of my simple pastoral life, was now a ruin, a testament to the violence and power of the creature that had visited my farm. At that moment, as I stood amidst the devastation, a primal fear gripped me, a fear that went beyond the immediate terror of the attack. It was the realization that I was up against something far beyond my understanding, a creature of nightmares that defied the natural order. My mind raced, trying to comprehend the scale of the threat I faced, even as a deep, instinctual part of me screamed to flee, to escape the horror that had descended upon my once peaceful farm. Out of the corner of my eye, amidst the chaos and the wreckage of the coop, I caught a glimpse of something moving, fast. It was a blur, a shadow that seemed to dart and weave through the night with unnatural speed. My heart raced as I tried to track its movement, the remnants of my once beloved chickens still falling on the ground beside me. Then, as suddenly as it had appeared, the creature stopped. In the pale moonlight, two glowing eyes met mine, burning with an intelligence and ferocity that was almost paralyzing. They were nothing like I had ever seen, a deep, malevolent red piercing through the darkness straight into my soul. Expectedly, a surge of terror overtook me. My hands, slick with sweat and trembling with fear, lost their grip on my shotgun. It clattered to the ground, discharging with a loud bang that echoed through the night. The sound seemed to enrage the creature further. It let out a monstrous howl, a sound so filled with rage and pain that it felt almost palpable in the air. Panicked, I turned on my heels and ran from my house, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I could hear the creature behind me, its heavy footsteps and guttural snarls a constant reminder of the danger nipping at my heels. I slammed the door shut behind me, my whole body shaking as I scrambled to lock it. Frantically, I moved through the house, barricading every door and window with whatever I could find, chairs, tables, a heavy bookshelf. My mind raced with fear and disbelief. How had my quiet, simple life turned into a scene from a horror movie? Finally, finding no other refuge, I locked myself up in the bathroom. My entire body was trembling, my ears straining for any sound of the creature that may have followed me inside. The small, cramped space felt like the only safe haven in the world that had suddenly become alien and threatening. I spent the rest of the night in that bathroom, jumping at every creak and groan of the house. The once familiar sounds now seemed ominous, each one a potential harbinger of the creature's return. The night stretched on endlessly, each minute an eternity of fear and anticipation. I sat there huddled on the cold tile floor, waiting for dawn to break, praying that the light would bring some semblance of safety and sanity back to my world. As the first light of dawn crept through the cracks of my bathroom window, I mustered the courage to unlock the door. My body was stiff from spending hours on the cold tile floor, my mind still reeling from the terror of the night. I stepped out into the silent house, my senses on high alert, half expecting the creature to leap out from the shadows. Cautiously, I moved from room to room, surveying the aftermath of my frantic barricading. Chairs were upturned, tables pushed against doors, books and knickknacks strewn across the floor in my hasty attempt to fortify my home. Thankfully, it seemed the creature hadn't breached the house. The silence was a silent comfort, but it was a comfort nonetheless. I spent the next hour cleaning up, returning the furniture to its rightful place, and trying to bring some order back to the chaos. The familiar task was oddly soothing, a slice of normalcy in an otherwise surreal situation. Stepping outside into the scorching midday, I braced myself as I approached the remnants of the chicken coop. The scene was just as gruesome in the daylight. Feathers, wood, and the remains of my chickens were scattered about, a grim reminder of the night's horrors. The coop itself was a mangled wreck, the once sturdy structure now little more than a pile of splinters and twisted wire. As I surveyed the wreckage, I noticed something else. My fence, particularly the part that bordered the dense woods, was utterly destroyed. Huge sections were torn down, the woods splintered and broken as if by a tremendous force. It looked like a wild storm had passed through, but I knew better. Whatever had attacked my chickens, whatever had been lurking in the darkness, it had come from the woods and had the strength to tear through solid wood like it was paper. The realization sent a shiver down my spine. The woods, once a place of peace and solitude, now seemed to loom ominously, hiding untold dangers in their shadowy depths. As I stood there, looking at the broken fence and the devastation it enclosed.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I knew that this nightmare was far from over. Whatever resided in those woods, it was powerful, malevolent, and now, thanks to my actions, possibly very, very angry. Once again, I found myself trudging back to Mr. Henderson's shop, the events of the previous night replaying in my mind like a bad movie. The bell above the door chimed cheerfully as I entered, a stark contrast to the haggard appearance and the grim story I was about to tell. Mr. Henderson was behind the counter, rearranging a display of what looked like antique voodoo dolls. I cleared my throat and launched into the tale of the previous night's horrors. As I spoke, his expression shifted from a mild interest to a look of knowing, as if he had been expecting this all along. When I finished, he stared at me for a moment, his eyes narrowing thoughtfully. Then, without a word, he beckoned me to follow him. We maneuvered through the maze of shelves, past a collection I swear was shrunken heads, and a rack of garlic that he insisted was extra potent. Eventually, we reached a hidden door, cleverly concealed between two bookshelves filled with dusty tomes. He ushered me down a narrow staircase into a dimly lit basement, the air thick with the smell of incense and old books. The walls were lined with shelves crammed with odd artifacts and ancient-looking weapons. He spoke in hushed tones. "I know what you're up against, Jedediah, and I have just the thing to defeat it." In the center of the room, on a small pedestal, sat a mysterious object shrouded in a scarlet cloth. My heart raced as he approached it with a sort of reverence. With a dramatic flourish, he whisked the cloth away, revealing a plush chicken. For a moment, I was speechless. The plush toys seemed absurdly out of place amidst the array of mystical items. It was just a regular, cuddly toy chicken, complete with button eyes with a stitched-on smile. Mr. Henderson, completely unfazed by my bewildered expression, plucked the plush chicken from the pedestal and thrusted it into my hands. "This," he said with a strange face, "is your salvation. Place it where your coop used to be. Trust me." I must have stood there gaping like a fish out of water because he soon grew impatient. "Go on, Jedediah. Time is a-wastin'," he urged, shooing me out of the basement and back through the shop. So there I was, standing outside Mr. Henderson's shop, clutching a plush chicken and feeling like I'd just stepped out of the Twilight Zone. The absurdity of the situation was not lost on me, and despite the gravity of my predicament, I couldn't help but chuckle at the thought of facing down a nightmarish creature with a toy. With a shake of my head, I made my way back to the farm, the plush chicken under my arm, ready to face whatever the night would bring. Following Mr. Henderson's bizarre instructions, I found myself back at the farm, standing where my chicken coop once proudly stood. In my hand, the plush chicken seemed to stare back at me with its button eyes, almost mocking the absurdity of the situation. With a sigh that carried all my doubts, I placed the toy on the ground, right in the center of the wreckage. The day passed in a blur of anticipation and, admittedly, a touch of skepticism. As evening approached, I decided to take no chances. Remembering the previous night's fumble with my shotgun, I came up with a genius solution. Duct tape. Yes, I duct taped the shotgun to my hand, ensuring it would stay no matter how scared or clumsy I got. I must have looked like a low-budget action hero, armed and slightly ridiculous. To pass the time and perhaps to ease my nerves, I turned to the internet. Sitting in my dimly lit living room, I scoured the web for any mention of chicken-eating monsters. My search was a deep dive into the world of folklore and urban legends, ranging from were-a-chickens to ghostly foxes. Each story was more outlandish than the last, and yet, after what I had witnessed, I wasn't in a position to dismiss any of them. As dusk fell, I settled myself by the window, the room dark except for the glow of my laptop screen. The taped shotgun felt heavy in my hand, an absurd but necessary burden. My eyes darted between the screen and the shadowy outdoors, where the plush chickens sat in eerie stillness. The night was quiet, almost too quiet, heightening my sense of unease. Every rustle of wind and distant animal cry made me jump, my grip tightening on the makeshift weapon. There, in the dim light, with my heart thudding in my chest, I waited for the creature, a bizarre sentinel guarding his farm with nothing but a toy chicken and a shotgun taped to his hand. As the night wore on, my initial vigilance began to wane, giving way to doubt. Maybe the creature wouldn't return. Maybe the sight of the plush chicken in the moonlit ruins of its previous feasting ground was too bizarre even for a monster from the depths of folklore. I found myself chuckling at the thought, the tension easing slightly. But then, the stillness of the night was broken. Faint at first, there were noises emanating from the direction of the woods, a strange rustling, unlike the wind through the leaves or the scurry of small animals. It grew louder, more deliberate, as if something large was moving through the underbrush, heading towards my farm. My heart started racing again. I focused my gaze on the plush chicken, now just a silhouette against the darkness. And that's when I saw it. The same swift, shadowy movement I had witnessed the previous night. It was back. The creature, shrouded in the darkness of the night, lunged at the toy chicken. It was a blur of motion, almost too fast for the eye to follow. I watched in stunned silence as it viciously tore into the plush toy, ripping it apart with ferocity. For a brief moment, the absurdity of the scene, a nightmarish beast savagely attacking a stuffed animal, almost seemed comical. But then, the creature stopped. It stood still, and the night air was pierced by the most horrifying scream I had ever heard. It was a sound filled with such rage, pain, and hunger that it chilled me to the bone. And then, just as quickly as it had appeared, the creature turned and disappeared back into the depths of the woods. Shaken, I stood up, my resolve fortified by the need to understand what had just happened. I cautiously made my way to the door, ready to step outside and examine the remains of the plush chicken. But as I opened the door, I froze. There, on my doorstep, stood Mr. Henderson, the shopkeeper. His arrival was so unexpected, so bizarrely timed, that for the moment, I couldn't form any words. His expression was grave, a stark contrast to the quirky, eccentric demeanor I was used to. In his eyes, I saw a seriousness that told me he knew more about what was happening than I had realized. My mind raced with questions, but the most pressing one was clear. What did Mr. Henderson know about the creature that was haunting my farm? As I stood there, bewildered by Mr. Henderson's sudden appearance, he greeted me with a single chilling word. Wendigo. Wendigo what? I blurted out, my brain struggling to process the term amidst the shock and confusion. Mr. Henderson sighed, a patient teacher to my incredulous student. Wendigo, he repeated firmly. It's an ancient creature from Native American folklore, a spirit consumed by hunger. It's said to possess and transform those who indulge in certain unspeakable acts. What you're dealing
with. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With is no ordinary predator. It's something far more sinister. With that ominous introduction, he motioned for me to follow him towards the remnants of the chicken coop. I noticed he carried a backpack, which seemed to be bulging with an assortment of peculiar tools and devices. The kind of equipment one doesn't typically find at the local hardware store. As we approached the site, Mr. Henderson pulled out a small flashlight. But instead of the usual white beam, this one emitted a deep violet light. He swept it across the ground, and to my astonishment, it illuminated a distinct trail on the earth. The trail glistened ominously under the ultraviolet light. "That's the creature's blood," Mr. Henderson explained, his voice grave. "It's special, visible only under this light. And it means the Wendigo is wounded, not dead. We must act quickly. If it has time to regenerate, it will become even more dangerous." His words sent a shiver down my spine. The idea of this creature, already so powerful and terrifying, becoming stronger was unthinkable. I followed him, my mind racing with fear and disbelief, yet trusting that Mr. Henderson, with his mysterious knowledge and strange tools, might just hold the key to ending this nightmare once and for all. The trail of the Wendigo's blood led us deeper into the forest. A place that had once seemed familiar, but now felt like a realm of a twisted fairy tale. The darkness was thick, pierced only by the eerie glow of Mr. Henderson's ultraviolet flashlight. The woods were alive with strange noises, rustling leaves, distant howls, and unidentifiable whispers that seemed to dance on the edge of human hearing. Mr. Henderson, ever the font to obscure knowledge, provided explanations for each sound we heard. "That's just the moaning Mabel," he said nonchalantly, or, "Oh, the whispers of the lost lumberjacks." His tales of local legends and mythological creatures added an unsettling ambience to our already tense expedition. As we navigated through the underbrush, Mr. Henderson began recounting his first encounter with the Wendigo. "It was many years ago," he said, his voice taking on a distant quality. "I was younger, more reckless. Came face to face with one in those very woods. Nearly lost my right hand to it." He held up his right hand, wiggling his fingers as if to prove their functionality. "It's my favorite hand, you know. Good for riding, eating, and swatting pesky mosquitoes." The journey through the dense forest felt endless, my legs growing weary, my mind overwhelmed by the surreal turn my life had taken. Just as I began to wonder whether this was a wild goose chase, Mr. Henderson stopped abruptly. "There," he exclaimed, pointing ahead with his flashlight. The beam fell upon a clearing, revealing a makeshift den nestled against a large, gnarled tree. The air around it felt heavy, charged with a malevolent energy that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. "We found the Wendigo's lair," Mr. Henderson whispered, his voice a mixture of triumph and apprehension. My heart raced as the reality of what we were about to face settled in. This was it, the heart of darkness, the source of the nightmare that had turned my life upside down. With a deep breath, I steeled myself for what was to come, determined to see this through to the end. As we cautiously approached the Wendigo's lair, the forest around us seemed to fall into a deep, unnatural silence. The usual chorus of nocturnal creatures was eerily absent. As if even the bravest of animals dared not make a sound in the presence of such a creature. My heartbeat echoed in my ears, each thud amplifying the tense, suffocating stillness that enveloped us. The lair itself was a crude structure of branches and earth, blending almost seamlessly with the gnarled tree against which it was built. We inched closer, with every step deliberate and muted. Then, within the dim confines of the den, we saw it, the Wendigo. It was huddled, almost curled up, its breathing ragged and labored. Even in its weakened state, it emanated a palpable sense of danger and malevolence. Mr. Henderson's voice was a low whisper, tense with urgency. "Aim for the exposed part of its skull, just above the temple. That's the weak point, only visible when it's injured like this. It's where the spirit that drives it is most vulnerable." My hand was shaking as I raised the shotgun, the duct tape around my hand suddenly feeling more like a shackle than a precaution. I took aim at the creature's head, trying to steady my breathing, to steady my shot. But then from the shadows of the forest, more eyes appeared. Dozens of them, glowing with the same malevolent red light that I had seen in the creature just before me. A chorus of low, guttural growls filled the air, a sound that seemed to come from all directions. The realization hit me like a physical blow. We were surrounded. The Wendigo wasn't alone. There were more, much more. I heard Mr. Henderson curse under his breath, a rare break in his usual unflappable demeanor. The situation had just gone from dangerous to suicidal. Fear gripped me, a primal, overwhelming terror at the thought of facing not one, but a legion of these nightmarish beings. In that moment, frozen with dread and uncertainty, the forest seemed to close in around us, the darkness teeming with unseen horrors and the chill gaze of countless Wendigos. Panic set in as I frantically pointed my shotgun at each pair of glowing eyes emerging from the darkness. My mind raced, filled with a sense of impending doom. I started reciting a prayer under my breath, a prayer I hadn't thought of since I was a child. In my heart, I was convinced these were my final moments. The growls of the creatures intensified, creating a cacophony of primal terror. With my heart pounding in my chest, I closed my eyes tightly and pulled the trigger, firing blindly into the unknown. The gunshot echoed through the forest, a desperate cry in the face of overwhelming fear. As I braced for the onslaught, expecting the searing pain of claws and teeth, I felt something entirely unexpected. A series of soft, almost comical pecks at my ankles. Confused, I hesitantly opened my eyes. What I saw was beyond comprehension. There, all around us, were chickens. Not ordinary chickens, but bizarre, Wendigo-like chickens, with glowing red eyes and an eerie presence, yet unmistakably more poultry than predator. As I stood there, shotgun still raised, my body trembled not from cold, but from the sheer absurdity of the situation. Around us, the forest had transformed from a den of horrors into a surreal poultry parade. These chickens, if you could still call them that, were an eerie sight, feathers tinged with an otherworldly hue, eyes glowing like demonic coals, and an aura that was both ludicrous and unsettling. In my state of shock, I could hear the rapid, almost rhythmic pecking at my ankles. It was a far cry from the bone-chilling terror of Wendigo tearing in the flesh. Instead, here were these bizarre, ghostly chickens, their pecks more annoying than painful, as if they were urging us to pay attention to them. I looked over at Mr. Henderson, expecting some form of guidance or at least an explanation. His face was a picture of bewilderment, his usual air of knowing confidence replaced by an expression that screamed, "I can't believe this is happening." For a man who had always had an answer, a tool, or a story for every supernatural occurrence, this scene seemed to have left him speechless. "Ghostly chickens?" I asked again, my voice a mixture of incredulity and relief. "Is this some kind of poultry poltergeist?" Mr. Henderson finally regained his composure, though he still looked as if he was trying to solve a puzzle with half the pieces missing. "In all my years," he muttered, "I've never seen anything quite like this. Wendigos are fearsome, soul-consuming spirits. Not this." He gestured helplessly at the chuckling, pecking swarm around us. The forest, which had been filled with menacing growls and snarls of what we believed were Wendigos, was now echoing with the bizarre chorus of these spectral chickens. They fluttered around, some perching on low branches, others strutting bodily between us, their red eyes glinting in the faint moonlight. The fear and tension that had gripped us moments before had dissipated, replaced by a surreal sense of wonder and disbelief. Here we were, in the heart of the forest, surrounded by a flock of ghostly chickens that seemed more curious than threatening. The night's events had taken a turn so strange, so utterly unexpected, that it bordered on comical. I couldn't help but let out a nervous chuckle, a release of the pent-up fear and adrenaline that had fueled me until now. As the chickens continued their ghostly parade, Mr. Henderson and I exchanged looks, a silent agreement that this was a story no one would believe, a bizarre chapter in the already strange folklore of our little town. In the midst of our bewilderment, the injured Wendigo made a subtle gesture, drawing our attention to a small section of its den. It looked remarkably like a makeshift chicken coop, crudely fashioned from branches and forest debris. It was a startling revelation. The Wendigo wasn't attacking my chickens out of malice or hunger for flesh. It was trying to take a few for itself, attempting to create its own bizarre flock of Wendigo chickens. Mr. Henderson and I exchanged astonished glances, realizing the tragic misunderstanding that had unfolded. The Wendigo, driven by a desire not dissimilar to my own pastoral inclinations, had inadvertently killed my chickens in its attempt to gather them, enraged and confused by the array of gadgets and devices I had set up. Seeing the creature's pain and understanding its intentions, Mr. Henderson rummaged through his backpack and produced a vial containing a remedy for the poison from the plush chicken. He carefully approached the Wendigo, offering the antidote. The creature, surprisingly docile, accepted the treatment, its glowing eyes watching us with an intelligence that was both unsettling and fascinating. Over the next few days, I found myself in the most unlikely of situations, assisting a Wendigo in constructing a more suitable coop for its spectral Wendigo chickens. With Mr. Henderson's guidance, we built a sturdy structure, ensuring it was comfortable and secure for its unusual occupants. The task was bizarre, yet oddly fulfilling, like mending a misunderstanding with a neighbor from another world. In a gesture of gratitude, the Wendigo returned several of my chickens. They were a bit ruffled and, to put it lightly, transformed, but otherwise unharmed. Mr. Henderson, even the inventor, set about designing a new coop for my farm. This wasn't just any coop. It was equipped with his latest inventions. Gadgets specifically tailored the care for those special chickens that had experienced the supernatural. The idea soon struck me. Wendigo chicken eggs. That would be a novelty, something no one else could offer. With Mr. Henderson's technological expertise and my newfound understanding of these mystical birds, we plan to introduce these unique eggs to the market. The notion was outlandish, yet in a town like ours, where the ordinary mingled with the extraordinary, it felt oddly appropriate. As I looked over the new coop, bustling with both regular and spectral chickens, I couldn't help but marvel at the turn my life had taken. From a simple farmer to a caretaker of the most unusual flock, my days were now filled with the chuckling of chickens both seen and unseen, and the occasional respectful nod to the Wendigo, my unexpected neighbor in the strange tapestry of Blackfeather.